Radio. I want to welcome everybody to THP Radio and The Green Side with Josh Babbitt and Sean Ware. The Green Side is our take on everything inside 100 yards with a kind of an emphasis on putters. It's a collaboration of The Hacker's Paradise and PutterZone.com, and I want to welcome my co-host who's with me each and every month, Sean, to the show.
Hey, Josh, I've got a curveball for you.
Well, I can never hit a curveball. That's why I don't play baseball. So what do you got for me?
I've got to ask, when it comes to putters, what's in the bag?
Right now, actually, it's kind of funny you said that. I've made a change again. I've gone back to Old Faithful, and I got my White Hot number 7, my Fang putter, in the bag.
Wow, old school.
Yeah, I've had that one since pretty much the day they came out. It's been through a lot with me. But I've always liked that insert, and that shape just sets up to my eye. And it went back in the bag recently, actually right after Bandon Dunes, because I realized just how bad I putt out there. And it's going to be in there for our fall golf outing that we got coming up next week at PGA National.
Wow.
And what would be in your bag right now?
You know, the one that's hanging around is the Nike Method putter.
Nice to hear.
Yeah. That's a
Green Side
golf,
alum.
I don't, what's that?
That's a Green Side alum. We've discussed them in depth on this show.
Yeah. It just, you know, it's working for me. And I don't get out as much as you do on the course. I spend probably more time with my four-year-old on the putting green. But when I do get out, that's the one that's been hanging around. It's hung around more than any other putter lately. And it's hard to do with all these other putters staring at me.
Yeah, I have to keep them in another room because they're lined up like Oompa Loompas right now. And if I look at them, it's immediately going to start making me change. But I actually had gone back to, you know, we had the show where I went to my Never Compromise and I really liked it. And it was really working for me. What I was finding is the pesky little 4 to 6 footers. The ones that I'd like to call gimmies but really aren't.
Boy, yeah. Tell me about it.
I was blowing them by the hole a little bit. So I wanted to go back to a softer insert. I'd messed around with an STX that we can talk about in another show with the changeable inserts. And then my old Odyssey was just calling my name. And I had a playing partner come down and he said, you know, you've never putt like you did with that putter. So I decided to put it in the bag. And the first round out, I had 26 putts with it.
That's pretty awesome.
And,
well, you'll just have to resist
there.
The siren song of all those beautiful sticks that you've locked away.
Well, yeah, except with our golf outing coming up next week at PGA National, it's going to be really hard to do because I should say this week because this is airing on Monday.
Temptation will be in abundance.
Yeah, and there's some interesting surprises out there that you and I will discuss on future shows that, you know, there's some stuff out there that I'll go on record and I will say – and I've said it before, so don't crucify me for this. I have now seen the best-looking putter I've ever seen in my life.
Jaw-droppers.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that in the future. But I wanted to tell you about a putter that actually Golfer Gal at THP has been using, and we can talk about that one a little bit, and that is the TaylorMade Monza Spider Vecino.
And what's her verdict?
She loves it. But have you had a chance to try this one out?
You know, I've had very limited exposure to it. I first saw the putter actually when I was down visiting TaylorMade earlier this year, and I went into the lair of designer Kia Ma, and these brand new spiders were there on a rack. I said, what are those? And they kind of started looking around like, we're not sure if these are supposed to be seen yet. You know, they were sort of like literally hot off the line. And I said, you know, can I take a photo of them? And the sales guy had to run around and ask. And, you know, I finally got permission to do it. But that was my first exposure to them. And really, I've had limited exposure since then. But it was sort of fun to be there at the outset.
Well, let me give you my brief chronological order of the Monza Spider. The first Spider came out, and I hated it. I thought it looked like a metal detector on a shaft. I know some loved it, and for that, I think that's great. If it helps you make more putts, great. The Itsy Bitsy, I actually really liked. I think that the people who are able to use that shape and use it well will see dramatic improvements in their putting with the Itsy Bitsy. The Bolero...
Yeah, it was just a refined... The Itsy Bitsy really took you know, the original and just refined it and made it a little more easy to digest, you know, from a visual standpoint.
That's exactly right. And then the Bolero from late last year, I thought was, I'll be completely honest, I thought it was a disaster.
Did not like the feel off the face.
No, I thought the face felt artificial, more so than anything I had felt. I didn't like the weighting. It didn't step up to my eye, set up to my eyes right. And then when I heard the Vecina was coming out and I saw some interesting pictures, in fact, the first picture I ever saw was on your site at putterzone.com, I was intrigued because it kind of reminded me of the couple of things that may have struck out and or stuck up on me from the Bolero that I did like, taken away all the disaster and married it with the Itsy Bitsy. And it really... It looks good, and it's hard to get offline with that putter.
Yeah, it kind of borrows some of the original and Itsy Bitsy aesthetics. You know, it kind of brings back a little more of the original than the Bolero did.
Yeah,
and I think they sort of recaptured sort of the spirit of the spider. I think the Bolero is sort of out on an island when it comes to that spider family.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. This one... The insert feels incredible. It's the best out of them that I felt. And maybe they're all the same. Maybe they're not. But this one just has a little more softer and plusher feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an insert. Like we've talked about the TaylorMade Ghost and how we both love the alignment and the idea is interesting. And the putter's a home run for them right now. I would love to see the insert that is on the Vecino in a Ghost putter.
Well, there's a little bit of chocolate in the peanut butter with all of these putters, isn't there?
There really is, and
because if you take the Ghost, if you actually pick up the Bolero and you clip the wings and paint it white, you have something that looks a lot like the Ghost.
You do, and they're definitely some refinement there. I would say is that it's like they tried some ideas that didn't work, but refined them to where they work really well.
Yeah, so you might just see what you're asking for down the line.
That's what I would really like, and I wouldn't mind seeing, some hints of color, some white, some dark, but I just – that insert on the Vecino is one of the best I've felt, at least on that putter, with the TaylorMade putters, the Rosa-style putters.
Definitely good to know. I look forward to swinging it soon.
Speaking of inserts, one of the things that we wanted to talk about is have a little we've talked about inserts on this show. We've talked about crazy-looking putters. We've talked about basically anything involving the short game. But one of the things that we constantly battle with on our forum with, I shouldn't say battle. The readers are constantly discussing and tour players. Everybody always talks about, their putter. Well, one of the interesting topics is – putters with inserts versus non-insert putters. And you have some stats that are staggering, but it's a really interesting topic, and even more so why people pick what they pick.
Yeah, well, it was very serendipitous because when we were talking about this show and we talked about that subject, it wasn't but a day or two later that a reader of putterzone.com, his name is Ben Janish, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Ben, sent me an email, and Ben is apparently a researcher by nature. He went all over the internet and compiled putters that have won on the PGA Tour, the Champions Tour, the European Tour, and the LPGA Tour, and he compared non-insert putters with insert putters, and lo and behold, as of a couple of weeks ago, the victory totals were exactly 50-50, not just in percentage, but 50 tournaments to 50 tournaments, which I found utterly fascinating. I mean,
that's
what are the odds
really
of that?
Really interesting. I mean, that's those are kind of numbers that, obviously coincidental by nature to be that close, but that's kind of an amazing statistic.
It sure is. On the PGA, it was non-inserts 19-18. The Champions, it was non-inserts lead 10-8. But on the LPGA inserts lead 11-6, it was interesting that it all added up to those clean numbers. And I think that just shows you, when people say what's more popular on tour, the answer is yes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The answer is yes. And I'd also be curious, and I don't have the numbers in front of me. We'll have to look them up at some point of users. While the numbers are 50-50, what are the users? Because I believe
sure, yeah.
You'll see a lot less insert users on the tours But that's creeping up quite a bit over the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, man, and yeah, this is just for victories, but you know, maybe Ben can go out there.
Ben, if you're listening, we would love you to be our stat guy.
Yeah, there you go.
Now you've played both. I play both. Actually, as we just talked about, I'm back using an insert putter. There's two sides of it. Some are your true traditionalists. They will only play a milled putter. They will only play a non-insert putter. It's always going to be the same shape. Those shapes seem to be the most popular of the answer style and an 8802 style. What have you gone with? You know, right now, obviously, you're using a I'll call it a non-insert putter, even though it's got a polymer inside. And I'm using an insert. What have you dabbled with as far as inserts go?
Boy, all of them, I think. And, you know,
do you have a favorite insert material? Do you prefer like the Odyssey type where it's a softer polymer, or do you prefer like a Cleveland BRZ type where it's an aluminum?
I would lean more toward, say, the Cleveland BRZ type. I'm not a fan of inherently not a fan of the more synthetic feel, the okay. manufactured feel, although I can certainly understand why that appeals to some people. You know, I know Odyssey goes to great lengths to work on not just tactile feedback, but audio feedback and different layers of materials to create different sensations. And so I certainly understand and respect that. But I don't know, I gravitate toward a metal style feel, even if it's in an insert.
Why do you think that is? And I guess that goes into the question. When somebody puts it down, is it strictly an audible or feel? Like for me, there's a lot of inserts I don't particularly care for, but the original Odyssey, the white hot Odyssey that I'm using now, it's this feel, I can only describe it as squishy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the few of those type of insert feels that I truly love. But when you put your putters down and you're hitting them, what is it that detracts you from that?
You know, I can't put my finger on it. You know, I grew up with an old Ping Answer, and I think maybe that's just still rattling around my DNA or something like that. You know, it's what I know, and these high technology inserts came out later, and I don't know. I gravitate toward what I know and what I like, and maybe that makes me a traditionalist.
Well, we'll call it a traditionalist. Let me ask you a question, though. When it comes to putters, because you're kind of a putter guru, as I like to call it.
Geek.
Okay, that works too. We're seeing a shift to where a lot of the companies, and smaller and larger alike, are going to different types of inserts. We've seen aluminum. We've seen copper. We're seeing a lot of them. What are the benefits of some of those inserts compared to being just a non-insert putter? Is there a benefit to having an aluminum insert compared to a non-insert? I mean, they're both metal.
I really think it depends on not just the insert itself, but the putter and the technology that goes into that insert, if it's multi-material, one material. But I think primarily the benefit of an insert is typically related to feel, but we've seen other inserts where they tend to minimize dispersion and things like that and create more consistent distance on off hits relative to center hits and things like that. So there's a lot of performance benefits built into some of these inserts. And I think, you know, there's just so many animals in the zoo now that we can't really make assumptions about anything.
That's a good point, is you really can't make assumptions. One of the things that was fascinating to me is last year, Golfer Gal and myself got to go spend some time with Bobby Grace. And, you know, famous putter maker, made some of the most famous designs and winningest designs around. And he was showing us what he calls HSM insert, and it stands for hole-seeking material. And when he's making it, he was showing us how he has his insert designed so if you miss the center, it creates as much rebound as when you hit the center.
Right, that's exactly it. And that came to mind when you asked that question.
And
you
know, it was fascinating. Grace. And it works. I only own one Bobby Grace putter, and it's not going to see the light of day because it's a numbered artist series. But I really need to experiment a little more with his designs because I actually really – that's one of the other few inserts that I really like. It also very squishy feeling.
I think the Never Compromise X-Ray, I recall seeing a comparison study in one of the major magazines, although – I should say, the Hacker's Paradise magazine is the major magazine.
Well, that's very kind of you.
And, you know, they were comparing off-center
hits. Shameless plug, everybody. He'll get his $20 later.
And they were comparing, you know, off-center hits relative to center hits and distance loss. And, you know, the Never Compromise made the claim that you know, you were going to get more consistency and distance off the face, and it was borne out in that study. So, you know, traditionally inserts, it was about feel. It was about feel or modifying or enhancing the feel. And what we've seen is the technology grows, and as the innovation grows, we're seeing, you know, inserts now like the HSM that are offering tangible performance benefits as well.
What companies shy away from the inserts, and why do you think they have a complete line of putters with no inserts? I mean, I guess my question is, if you're looking at the insert versus non-insert world, why not as a company offer both? Is it just personal belief that this is what I'm good at, this is what we're going to put out?
Well, anymore, you know, I would have said Seymour, but lo and behold, they've got an insert. You know, we're seeing more and more of that. Rife traditionally or originally didn't have an insert, and now they do. So I think we're seeing a broadening of the field within each brand. I think there's still a few holdouts out there, and I
could be wrong, but I don't think Bettinardi or Cameron have inserts.
Right, right. And I was just about to say, I think when you get into the more focused, you know, artisan putters, then you're going to see perhaps an avoidance of them. And someone like Bettinardi, I think, you know, those designers are leading with their strengths and focusing on what they do best. And I think that's fine. There's certainly no shortage of insert putters out there, but I think we're seeing more and more companies incorporating them into their portfolio.
Do
I'm hard-pressed
believe,
now, you know, or those that were traditionally insert putters go in the other direction, like Odyssey.
Do you believe that there is an insert out there that can absolutely take the place and mimic the feel of a milled putter?
Wow, good question. Yeah, I mean, if you were to be perfectly honest with some of these inserts, if you were to blindfold me, and tell me to hit the ball, could I say with certainty each time, insert, non-insert? Probably not.
I got to tell you, if you blindfolded me, I don't think I'm actually going to hit the ball.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot, you know, a lot of it is, you know, the power of suggestion and perception. I know we're both appreciators of wine, and
I have been known to like a glass of a cold beverage or a glass of wine every now and then.
There you go. I mean, it put a blindfold on and taste red and white wine. There, it can be difficult, not only just to distinguish between different types of wine, but there are instances where you can't tell the difference between red and white wine when they're blindfolded. So, you know, hopefully that's not me, but, you know, there's a lot that goes on with the eyes and ears, that dictates, you know, what you know or what you think you know.
Famous club maker John Hoflick, who I believe is one of, if not the best club makers in modern design, once told me, and it's actually in our interview in one of our previous issues of the magazine, I think spring, he said that feel is almost 100% sound as it relates to golf. And I never really dawned on me to think like that. And he's not speaking of putters as much as he is speaking of, you know, clubs and drivers overall. But I've done little tests here and there, and he's absolutely right. I picked up the old Nakent Tour prototype insert putter, which I really, really liked, by the way. And I had another putter of the same style, which is similar to an Answer, close to an Answer style putter, and I couldn't tell which one was inserted or not. I thought I was pretty good at this golf equipment stuff, but apparently not as good as I think I am, or some think I am.
Yeah, I think there's so much that goes on in the senses that's, you know, intertwined and inseparable to create the overall impression of what you're feeling, and that can include so many aspects of your senses. So I think it's really tough to say. I mean, you asked that. I guess that's my roundabout way of not answering your question.
I appreciate that. That was great.
But I did get a plug in for the magazine.
That is good. The we're talking about picking putters, and we talk about that a lot. We'd love to hear from you guys on why you picked insert or non-insert. You can always email Sean@putterzone.com, SEAN@putterzone.com, or me, Josh@thehackersparadise.com, or leave a comment right under the radio show and let us know what you think. But, you know, you just mentioned picking up putters, and one of the things that I think our listeners and, you know, the THP readers especially could benefit from is, you know, you're very good at demystifying and debunking and spelling out things in the world of putters for people to understand. And one of the ones that we've gotten a question on a lot is offset and putters. And it's relatable to, you know, clubs. You know, you think of offset and a driver, it's very easy. You set the driver down and it's closed. That means it's offset. How does one, what is offset in putters, and how does one determine if their putter has it and if it's right for them?
Basically, offset is the measurement of the leading edge of the shaft in relation to the leading edge of the face of the putter. So if you're looking down at your putter at setup and the leading edge of the shaft is visually in line with the leading edge of the putter face, then you have a putter with no offset. Now, on a traditional crank neck, plumber's neck, answer style putter, what you're going to see as you look down the shaft at your putter is that the leading edge of the shaft is actually forward of the face of the putter, and that's called offset. And you have varying degrees of offset. You have what's called full shaft offset, which you often see on the answer style putter, where you have the degree of offset equals the width of the shaft. And you have something that can be called half shaft offset, where the degree of offset is roughly equivalent to half the width of your shaft. So you have varying degrees of it. And you also have the a measurement called onset, where the leading edge of the shaft is actually a little bit behind the face, or in the case of the Odyssey Backstrike putters, quite a bit behind.
Yeah, they kind of blew the doors open on the whole offset-onset conversation.
Yeah, you know, if you look at some of the Seymour putters, they're actually a little onset.
Why would somebody want off? You know, there's so many golf purists who don't like offset in their irons, and there's a misnomer out there on why, you know, offsets in their irons. And one of the everybody assumes it's to create to fix a slice, and that's not always the case. It also increases playable loft to get the ball up in the air, but that's obviously for a different discussion. Why does somebody want or not want offset in a putter?
Well, I think, as always, a lot of it comes down to personal preference. I think, you know, when you're looking at the major tours, you're going to see more offset putters. Obviously, again, the answer style putter, which is perhaps the most popular style out there, has typically a full shaft offset. And, you know, but going back to sort of what offset can bring, basically, you know, it puts your hands forward. And some people feel that, you know, minimizes breakdown of the wrists. Some people feel that eye dominance plays a factor in whether or not you should have offset in your putter. There's a lot of schools of thought out there, and, you know, I'm not familiar with all of them. But, you know, there's factors that go into that that can make a difference on your game. I've heard that if you tend to pull left, that an offset putter can help you correct that. So, you know, but again, I think it's so intertwined with your own sort of optical leanings and your own mechanics that it's hard to make a blanket statement about what it will do for you. But it's certainly something to be aware of. I see people go into, you know, local golf shop picking up putters, and a lot of times, you know, they're going from offset to no offset, and I'm not sure they're even noticing or thinking about that. And it's another thing you want, another tool in the box that you want to be aware of.
Are there people who, if they're putting with an offset or a non-offset or a half offset, are there styles that are obviously better suited for the right stroke, or is it something more that just fits the eye?
That's a good question.
Does a full offset putter work better with straight back, straight through, and vice versa? You know, I've often wondered that, because I've always just gone by the eye. And then gotten my putter fit for me. So I've often wondered, can it play a role in somebody actually making more putts rather than just a role in style that suits, you know, one's eye when they're deciding?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, a lot of it too is the hosel connection or the shaft type also plays a role in where that shaft or the hosel is intersecting the center of gravity of the putter, plays a role in the balance of the putter. And we've talked about how the balance of the putter can favor a straight back and straight through, or more of an arcing stroke. You know, I think it's typically, you know, if you're employing a straight back, straight through stroke, the consensus is that a face balance putter will likely favor that type of stroke. So then you look at the types of shaft or hosel connections that are in face balance putters. Well, I think a lot of the non-offset putters, or more so, are going to be face balanced. So you kind of get that. That's a phenomenon you need to be aware of. So, you know, the answer style putter is always typically, not always, but typically going to be have some sort of toe down balance. So you would equate offset with toe hang, which then typically favors an arcing stroke.
So in this aspect, in the putter aspect, for the people who are going to ask, offset does not necessarily mean more playable loft or cure a missing, you know, cure pushing putts.
Yeah, what I would say is, again, just certainly understand what it is, be aware of it, and if you are experiencing difficulty with your current putter, or you're looking to replace a putter, you know, be aware of that. If you're consistently pulling or pushing putts, and you have, say, a certain type of offset, then you might want to play with non-offset and vice versa, and just see if it makes a difference in your game, and start to dial it in, or, you know, talk to a club fitter or instructor about it. But, you know, again, it's knowledge is power. It can be a little intimidating.
I feel like I'm going to a rally.
There you go. You know, it can be a little intimidating to have all these terms around. You know, sometimes it's a Pandora's box. Now you're thinking about all these things, but I think ultimately it's better to know what it is and sort of have a fundamental understanding of it, and then start to drill down to your own personal strokes and preferences.
That's the best, you know, advice. And you're right. Knowledge is power. And when going to a store, I can look at a putter now, ever since doing this show, and I look at the balance, I look at the weighting, I look at the length, I look at swing weight, you know, everything about it, and it really has increased my awareness of what I'm looking at. And, you know, that's all that anybody should really want to do, is instead of walking in blind and picking one that, you know, that seems to work in a store, having this information can only help them make an educated decision.
Yeah, you know, I have friends who run a shop, a golf shop locally, and, you know, I get to be a fly on the wall sometimes, and, you know, I keep my mouth shut, but, you know, I see someone with a toe-down Zing-style putter, and they're pinging around to some face-balanced, you know, ghost, and, you know, it's really an impulse type of experience, and I think that what you want to do in it is have more of a plan and be a little more aware of these factors, so that you're not, you know, beholden to the impulse, and you're using, you know, some of this knowledge to your advantage, so that you can get something that really fits your game.
Sounds, you know, absolutely perfect, and that's obviously what, you know, the goal of this show is. Obviously, that wraps up another one of our episodes of The Green Side. I want to thank Sean from PutterZone.com, and you can always connect with him at Sean, S-E-A-N, at PutterZone.com. You can connect with me, Josh, at TheHackersParadise.com. We are headed to our THP Fall Golf Outing and Demo Day. We have over 100 putters on Demo Day, as well as, you know, drivers and irons and everything else. But 100 putters will be out there for people to try. So we'll obviously have some feedback for next show. And, leave a comment in the spot. Email us. Let us know what you want to hear about. Let us know if you have any questions. And we will be happy to talk about it.
Yeah, we really want your feedback, your ideas, suggestions, critiques, whatever it is. We really want to hear it, so bring it.
Sounds good. So Sean always gives me this wonderful sign-off, and that is, don't fear the green, conquer it. And we truly believe that. Goodbye, everybody.